Well, of course, last week's top story was the primary election in North Carolina. No surprise at the gubernatorial level. Josh Stein is your Democratic nominee. Mark Robinson is your Republican nominee. We kind of knew that going in. Joe Biden and Donald Trump easily winning their respective party primaries for president as well. The one big development that did happen and already kind of suggested by Trump and Robinson's victories is a major, major win for Trump-aligned MAGA-style Republicans all the way down, including some significant upsets a little bit further down on the ballot, most notably for Superintendent for Public Instruction, where incumbent Catherine Truitt got knocked out by a homeschooling advocate who raised only a few $1,000s. What does all of this mean, though, for the general election, which is going to be here before we know it? Tom Jensen is the director of public policy polling based out of Raleigh. PublicPolicyPolling.com is their website. He's been following in North Carolina very closely as a swing state for the general election already, and he joins us now to talk about the primary and what it may bode for the coming months. Tom, thank you so much for being with us today. Good morning.
Hey, Aaron. Good to be with you.
So takeaways, I mean, that was kind of the 20-second summary, but what were your takeaways on the primary results from last week?
Well, I think we definitely learned at the top of the ticket in the presidential race that both parties are pretty content with who's going to be their standard bearer in North Carolina. On the Democratic side, there's been a little bit of a movement for people to vote for no preference in the primary to sort of cast a protest vote against Joe Biden. But he got 87% of the vote among Democrats. Only 13% voted for no preference. And to put those numbers into some perspective, in 2012, Barack Obama had 21% of people vote against him for no preference in the primary. He only got 79%. Of course, he still got reelected in the general election. He didn't win North Carolina, but won the country as a whole. So not too much of a protest vote against Biden. Democrats happy with him for the most part. And then the Republican side, we talked earlier in the year about how it was likely going to be a one-on-one race by the time it came to North Carolina. That did indeed happen. Trump got 74% of the vote. So on the Republican side, too, you see people pretty content. Is worth noting that Orange County was the third closest county in the state in the Republican race. Trump only won 55-41 here. The two counties that were even closer were Mecklenburg and Durham. So he did win all 100 counties, but we at least get the bronze prize for having had the third closest primary in the state. So definitely in the presidential race, both sides are pretty much full steam ahead with Biden and Trump.
And I will say, and this is purely anecdotal, I was speaking with a couple of folks over the weekend who I actually had no idea how they had voted in the primary, but both of them had talked about over the weekend having voted no preference on Tuesday, and then both of them over the weekend were extremely enthusiastic about getting to the polls and voting for, and in one case actively campaigning for Biden. So again, that's only two out of the 13% of Democratic voters who went that way, but at least anecdotally, it doesn't seem like that's going to extend to the general election. And as you pointed out, it certainly didn't with Barack Obama back in 2012.
Yeah, and it's going to be interesting to see what the polls look like here over the next couple of weeks, because it does seem like there's a little bit of a new shot of momentum for Biden in the wake of his State of the Union address, which was generally pretty well received and seen as sort of a sign of him maybe having a greater energy than has sometimes been portrayed to be the case for him. And then he has this new ad in key swing states across the country where he just directly takes on the age issue in sort of a humorous way. So I think those are a couple more positive developments for Biden that have happened in the last week, and we'll be interested to see if that starts to have some ramifications for his poll numbers.
So given the results from last week Tuesday in North Carolina, what do you make of that for the general election? One of the things that observers have commented on is you've got some pretty extreme Republican candidates, obviously Mark Robinson kind of at the top of the ticket, and certainly Donald Trump, who we're used to. But you've got Michelle Morrow, is that her name, for superintendent for public instruction, who is already generating a lot of buzz, and a lot of it is very negative among not just Democrats, but independents and swing voters and people who just sort of care about the public schools in general, that maybe that's motivating voters to get to the polls and vote for those top line races as well. But that's what commentators are saying right now. What's your take?
Well, I'm absolutely fascinated by the Michelle Morrow question, because I think it's going to be a great test of whether candidates for down ballot offices matter very much in the state anymore or not. We used to see that in some of those council of state races, people would really have their own brands, and you'd see a pretty wide variety of outcomes. For instance, I think in 2008, Elaine Marshall got reelected for Secretary of State by something like 20 points. And at the same time, Steve Troxler, a Republican, got reelected for Agriculture Commissioner by something like 6 points or something like that. So you'd see this 25-point spread among how the different Council of State races turned out. And as everything has been getting sort of driven more and more by national politics, that spread between different races has sort of been getting smaller and smaller, to the point where the outcomes come closer to looking all the same. And Michelle Morrow, I think almost any sort of objective observer would say that she has no business being state superintendent of public instruction whatsoever. She doesn't really believe in public schools. She's basically been an advocate for things that would hurt them. She was at the she was in Washington, D.C. on January 6th or all that sort of stuff. I mean, she's the kind of candidate that's so far to the right that you would not think that they'd be able to win a statewide election in a 50-50 state. And I think if it was 2000, whatever, earlier in the century, somebody like her wouldn't have any chance of winning a statewide election. It would sort of be like, well, the Democrats nominated someone sane, the Republicans nominated someone crazy, the Democrats going to win by double digits. And I'm just not sure that's the case anymore. I don't know if there will be that much deviation between how people vote for president and how they vote for something like superintendent of public instruction, because it's all just so sort of partisanized down the line where you don't see much of that sort of differentiation. So very interested to see how that plays out. I mean, it feels to me intellectually like something where even if Trump's winning North Carolina by 3 or 4 points, that Morrow should be such a weak candidate relative to sort of the baseline that she would manage to lose to the Democratic candidate, Mo Green, who the former superintendent of the Guilford County Schools and has led one of the biggest foundations in the state. I mean, truly about as big a difference in qualifications as you could possibly see. I guess we'll find out if it matters or not. I'm a little concerned it doesn't.
Speaking with Tom Jensen, Public Policy Polling, kind of following up on that, I think one of the arguments that I've seen from some commentators, and my question to you is going to be, is this too optimistic? One of the arguments that I'm seeing from commentators is that folks like Morrow, most notably, but then also folks like Mark Robinson to a slightly lesser degree, are so extreme and so kind of anathemic to independent voters, potential swing voters, that, you know, maybe there's not going to be that much deviation from one race to the next, but their presence on the ballot might make it less likely that Trump will win North Carolina by 3 or 4 points at all. They could drag down the entire party ticket. Do you think that's too optimistic at this point?
I don't think there's much evidence ever for anything further down the ticket impacting the top of the ticket. It's always the other way around. So I do think that it's more likely that, first of all, it's so weird that in 2024, we're talking about, well, you know, Trump can save the rest of the ticket, because certainly the first time around in 2016, we were talking about how, you know, it seemed like everyone might lose because of Trump, but Trump has kind of proven his strength at this point. So I don't really think that the poor Republican candidates down ballot have the potential to hurt Trump. But One thing that I think is probably especially hard for those of us in Orange County who follow things so closely to sort of conceptualize is voters don't know the bad stuff about Mark Robinson yet at the top of the ticket on the state level. It's something that if you're a political junkie and you're really invested in it, you certainly know how extreme he is and a lot of the pretty extreme views that he's espoused over the years. But average voters don't know that yet. And so that's going to be a big test here over the next 8 months is, you talk to any sort of like activist here and it's just, sort of understood that, oh, Mark Robinson's so crazy. We couldn't possibly elect someone like that. The challenge for Democrats and Josh Stein here in the coming months is going to be that have that be something that normal voters feel too. And it's not at that point yet. I mean, Mark Robinson actually did very well when he ran for lieutenant governor in 2000, was one of the top Republicans on the ticket. So there's a lot of education to be done there. I am cautiously sort of more to the side of thinking that that stuff will all eventually come back to bite him. We've talked before about how in 2022 in the Michigan and Pennsylvania governor's races, which are, of course, very 50-50 states just like we are, those races for governor started out close. And then the more voters got to know about the Republican candidates who were sort of Mark Robinson-style extremists, the Democrats ended up winning both of those gubernatorial races by double digits, even in states that are pretty much split down the middle. So it's going to be interesting to see if it gets to that point with Robinson. I think it's harder for it to get that out of hand in a presidential year. I think there's more room for something like that to happen in a midterm where people aren't just going to be turning out for president and voting Republican as long as they're doing that for everything else. But there is a model that shows that even in a very competitive state, somebody like Robinson can prove to be too extreme to get elected. We'll see whether we're on that list or not.
Speaking with Tom Jensen, Public Policy Polling, we'll leave the conversation there. But before I let you go, you were actually in Cameron Indoor for the Carolina Duke game on Saturday. What's your takeaway from that? Not just what's on the court, but all of the various controversies on and off.
Well, it's just it's really two different experiences at Cameron, I think. I mean, obviously the students are very obnoxious, and certainly they're throwing stuff on the court after the game was completely over the line and that sort of thing. I was sitting in a section that was mixed with some UNC people and then mostly Duke people, but Duke grown-up people. Could not have been any more lovely. The Duke people could not have been nicer where I was sitting, more respectful, that sort of thing. So I really do think the students give the whole place a bad rap. I had no problem whatsoever with the grown-up Duke fans who I was surrounded by.
Again, publicpolicypolling.com is the website. Go there and find out more. As always, Tom Jensen, thank you so much.
Thanks, Aaron. Take care.